Thank you for tuning in to the Covenant Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the teaching and preaching of God's Word. The Covenant Podcast is a ministry of Covenant Baptist Church located in Indianapolis, Indiana. And now, here is today's speaker.
A lot of people can believe a lot of things about Jesus. But what comes short of being born again is when they come short of believing what He has said about them. And what has Jesus said about all of us? We're all sinners. We're all sinners, all shapen in iniquity, all insufficient and unable on our own to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And He's going to iterate that again a little bit later. But here, we see the sign that we ought to be looking for is the preaching and the proclamation of the message of Christ, which is repent. Christianity is not about following God because He can do great things. Christianity is not about following God because if you do, He's going to line your bank account with more money than you'll ever need and give you security in that way. Christianity is not about coming into church and believing and that if you do that, He's going to make sure your life is easy and blessed and that sickness stays at bay and that your children are never challenged and that your family is never challenged and your job is never challenged. That's not what it's about. But that's what these people came to Jesus believing. They believed Him because they saw the signs. Why are you here? Why do you open your Bible? Why do you bow your knee? Why do you come to church? Why do you do these things? Is it because of Him or is it because of the signs, the things that you might be seeking after? So many people seeking and in some respects believing. Believing something about Jesus. They're coming short of being born again. We read about these same people later in chapter 6 of verse John. John chapter 6 verse 66 says this, after this, and that was when Jesus started to truly speak and preach and proclaim so clearly and boldly what the message of the gospel was. When Jesus did that, after this, many of His disciples turned back and no longer walked with Him. These people who in chapter 2 are there coming to Him believed in His name, believed something about Him because of the signs. These are the people that when they come face to face with the message of Christ, turn and no longer follow. And Jesus looked at His disciples and He said to them, are you two going to go away? Do you want to know what survives the difficult life of the child of God on this side of eternity when we are in enemy territory? It is this. It is that we know Him, that we have repented, and that we long to be with Him. As Peter said, where else can we go, Lord? You are the Holy One. As he will say in that chapter, as we look into this verse of Scripture that's so clear, many believed in His name when they saw the signs that He was doing, but clearly it was not a belief unto salvation. Jesus says, He did not entrust Himself to them. Later on, you know what they're going to do after He feeds them? And we'll come to this later if the Lord continues to move us down in this examination of the Gospel of John. They're going to want to make Him a king. They're going to insist that He become the Messiah that they wanted Him to be. And when He began to teach and preach and proclaim the message of the gospel of repentance, and it was not about this world, they rejected it and many turned and went away, even though the signs never changed. The signs were always there to be witnessed. The signs drew them initially. And sometimes people are drawn to Christianity through some event, some circumstance, and that whatever that it might be, and it could be of God, it might be of just worldly manipulation, whatever that it is. Many believed in His name, but because of the signs, because of what they thought that He could do, not because of who He was. And so, Jesus then goes into this story. That's why it's important, I think, and necessary for us to not disconnect verses 23 through 25 of chapter 2 to this account of Nicodemus. He says, look, Jesus knew what was in man. There were men and women who came to him and were believing in his name, but he did not entrust himself to them because he knew there was something yet missing. They weren't really his. They weren't born again. And this scripture makes it, I believe, impossible to argue against the reality of the teaching of the gospel of an experience with God whereby we come to know him and we are born again. Because he says he needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. And then picking right up, just imagine that chapter 3 division wasn't there. For he knew himself what was in man. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. So he is one of these people. Nicodemus is one of these who at this point, at least in some respect, came with a belief. And does he not even begin with that? He begins with this belief. He says, Rabbi, we know. Notice he uses this word we. Maybe it's making more out of that than there is, but he doesn't say I. You know, sometimes it's easier for us to say something that we believe than it is to say I believe. And Nicodemus does not say, Rabbi, I believe. He says we. He grabs hold of the confidence that comes from others. You know what Jesus wants to know? He doesn't want to know necessarily only what we as a group believe. He wants to know what you believe. What do you believe? Isn't that what he did with Peter? He asked first, what does everybody else think? But he asked that because he wants to ask the actual question, what do you think? But Nicodemus comes and he says, Lord, we know. There's belief here. We know that you are a teacher come from God. Why did he know that? For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. He is one of these referred to in chapter 2 who believed in him and came to him in a degree to a point because of the signs. And we have great evidence, I think, later on in the New Testament that this Nicodemus does indeed come to Christ, and it's not because of the signs. We don't know that with any certainty, but here at the beginning, he is struggling, and he's in the same boat. But at least he does come. Nicodemus is often given a hard time and used as an example of what not to do, but in some respects, I think that he is an example of what to do. Come to Christ with your questions. You. Go to him. Open the book that he's written. Read it and contemplate and pray and meditate and call upon his name. He says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And here Jesus absolutely removes any teaching that the gospel of Christ is without a newborn experience whereby we come to God and we are made new. Jesus answered him in verse 3. Truly, truly, without any equivocation, there are three truly, trulies in the response and in the conversation with Jesus and Nicodemus. Three of them. And this first one, truly, truly, and it was a Hebrew way of speaking where if you're going to emphasize something, you don't necessarily put an exclamation point on it. You don't necessarily raise your voice. You say something twice, truly, truly. It is as though he's saying, amen and amen. This is true, Nicodemus. I say to you, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. This verse, John chapter 3, verse 3, and others. Remember, we don't hang significant heavy doctrine on a single verse. We hang it on the balance in all of Scripture. And again, and again, and again, Jesus talks about coming to know him. Paul says, old things pass away, all things became new when I became a child of God. And this verse and others like it, but this one perhaps is the tip of the spear of the doctrine of the new birth. When Jesus says this, no one's getting into heaven unless they've been born again. He does not say, no one is getting into heaven unless they believe the signs. He says, no one. No one is getting into heaven unless they be born again. This verse removes all arguments against an experience with God in coming to know Him. It's the balance. What is the most memorized scripture in all the New Testament? It's probably John 3:16, isn't it? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that is a wonderful verse. But maybe remember that John 3:3 came before it. And may John 3:3 be required memory for our children and those that we teach the gospel to, as well as John 3:16. May it be an ever-present reality to our teaching, and this balancing against this idea that there is nothing other than a mere assent or intellectual agreement or a checking of the box or a signing of the card or a shaking of the hand or whatever religious expression that some group of people may do to have you agree intellectually that you believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Have you been born again? That's the question. That's the question. You can be a believer without ever being born again, but you can never be a child of God without a new birth. How can we ever be children if we are never born? And Jesus speaking here says to us and removes all doubt. I remember, removes any argument, you must be born again. I remember speaking to a pastor who did not agree with this, was a pastor who believed in the simply intellectual agreement with the gospel is enough, that you repeat a verse, that you're fine. And I remember expressing to him and talking to him and saying, I believe that there's an experience. And he took his Bible and he tapped it a couple of times and said, show me in here where it says that. John chapter 3 is dripping with it. As is the rest of the New Testament. It is this idea that there is somehow an intellectual agreement that is enough and sufficient. And Jesus warns us and tells us here, without any doubt, it's not. It's not enough. Never has been enough. Nicodemus says to him, he goes on, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus goes on to tell him that this new birth is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's not physical. It's not natural. It's interesting that Nicodemus goes there, though, isn't it? We've read this so many times, it's almost as if we forget that this was a direction Nicodemus went. Jesus never said anything about being born again physically. Never brought that up. Never said that. He said you must be born again. Nicodemus immediately goes to the natural, to the physical world. Boy, does the enemy not continue to assault us in that respect today. To make us believe that the only things that are real, the only things that are true, are the things that we can feel, see, hear, and touch, and handle. To make us believe in this hyper-scientific culture that we're in, that the only knowledge that one can truly possess is knowledge that can be quantified in this physical realm. And even in their arrogance, they look down their noses at those who would speak of spiritual truth. But I'm going to tell you today that the spiritual is as real. And in so many ways, it's more real than the physical.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to today's program. Please visit us at www.covenantmbc.com to access our podcast archive and learn more about the ministry of Covenant Baptist Church. Visit us on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/covenantinindy.